Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Yo, Eric, I'm Mark. Hey. Hello.
Thanks for joining me.
Tibbity Hop, Hop Radio 64.
This is the worst intro I've ever done. But I love it and we're here for it.
We're not redoing
you know,
that.
Who else is here for it? Rio's here for it.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Rio, to an episode of Lorehammer. Today is Tau.
Yeah.
You know, always a great...
Yeah, most requested episode right here. Fourth and fifth sphere sense, expansion. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons we must have subconsciously picked Tau right now is now there's no way we're ever going to do it for our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah, there could be no chance.
Exactly. Yeah. It'd be too close.
Wait, what number are you on?
Well, we're on 96 right
now. It's coming close, eh?
Yeah. So we're getting very close.
For those who don't know, we got actually a very famous 40K author who's going to be on our 100th episode, just like an interview. He won't be on the whole time,
right? But it's not going to be live, but we are we're really excited for actually.
Graham McNeil is coming on our show, so that's gonna be super excited. If you want to join our Discord, we have a channel there where you can ask questions. Like, you might be able to sneak a good question in still,
Mark and I are going to go over them, kind of consolidate them, sift out the chaff, and it's gonna be I'm really looking forward
that
to
is awesome.
Engaging with
very
him
cool.
So
very sweet. But, you know, to get big people like that, you got to pay the bill. So go join our Patreon because he doesn't get a cut. But, but you know, I've had to set up meetings. That's the most work I've done in months. So,
You can support us on our Patreon. If you're looking for Lorehammer merchandise, we have a place on Teespring. If you need links or anything, just shoot us a message. Come on our Discord. We can get you set up.
You shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram. It shoots you back a whole shit ton of links. So I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for. But one more thing before we get into the episode, I got another podcast. You heard me talk about it a little bit on last time. It's called Pillow Talk with Mark and B. Hey guys, do you like listening to me but your girlfriend hates listening to Lorehammer? Well, listen to Pillow Talk with Mark and B, where you can still listen to me and your girlfriend can listen to B. So it's a lot of fun. We just kind of are talking about our lives and working through life. You know, it's a crazy world, so come have a listen. That's all.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
You actually just got a brand new tattoo?
Yeah, I got another tattoo. So, you know, if you want to brand your podcast logo on me.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm willing to.
for the low price.
Yeah, for the low, low price of just pay for it, essentially. you can do the placement, but.
Oh, does that mean Star-Lord is going to put those in your forehead?
No.
I think that was what I heard.
They wanted it on the shaft, on the bottom of my
How could they get it
penis.
So small?
That's the miracle of tattooing these days, Eric.
It's low-hanging fruit. It was too easy, you know?
Yeah.
I should have said...
My testicles are low-hanging fruit. I get what you said.
I should have made a joke about how large it was, really.
That's that.
So... I'm happy that we're less than 5 minutes in and there's a nice big fat penis... joke for you.
Yeah.
So...
oh boy. How do you transition from that to Tau?
I think you just talk about, oh, welcome to 40K.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Tau, fourth and fifth sphere expansion.
Buckle up.
Great transition.
Yeah.
Yeah, so smooth.
Can you tell we've done this before? You'd think we'd learn at this point. But.
So let's do a quick recap. Previously on the Tau TV, the third sphere expansion was ultimately negative, with the Tau being pushed back across the Damocles Gulf. The death of the ethereal supreme, Unva, and the encounter of the Farsight Enclaves. While it only lasted 3 years, roughly, it was a devastating blow to the morale of the Tau Empire.
Yeah, pretty negative experience.
Yeah, they ended up fighting over, like, one or two planets.
Yeah,
and
it,
like
it just kept switching hands, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. It was like there's planets on both sides of the Damascus Gulf, and they're just fighting back and forth between these two safe ways through.
Yeah,
a waste of 3 years.
That's right. Don't tell the Tau though.
No. The Tau leadership was stuck on where to expand their philosophy next. To the east and south were the scorched worlds of High Fleet Gorgon. To the west was the Sotek Dynasty, and to the northwest was the Damocles Gulf and the Imperium. There was nowhere left to expand that the Tau could handle, and for an expansionist race, this created a massive problem for the greater good.
I wish we heard more about conflict between the Tau and the Necron.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we can rationalize and say that, and maybe they were just warned to not go there, you know, like
yeah.
you definitely can't handle it, or maybe they actually did have dealings with them, but that yeah. could be kind of cool to hear a story about some water caste ambassador trying to entreat with the Necron yeah. race.
Is that even possible? Like,
I don't think it would end well for the Tau.
But it might, like, yeah. if it's a small enough dynasty, but Sotek, I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But yeah, it could be very cool. Like, yeah, like both of them are like very much deep in the politics and like manipulating and pulling the strings. They're
Absolutely.
All playing 40 chess there.
It'd yeah. be, like, I think if it's entirely possible that you could see some kind of like an agreement being reached between the
sure.
two of them.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
as long as the Tau submit
yeah.
to their
we'll
Necron
let you
overlords.
Live, but hope you like taxes because
yeah.
you'll be paying them.
So yeah, it's a very like bleak
yeah
outlook for them. They got no path anywhere outside of their pocket of space.
Yeah, they try pushing here, enemies this way, Tau or Tyranids. It's just yeah. So yeah, they're at a loss on what to do. So the fourth sphere expansion.
Well, these spheres used to be a grand endeavor where many planets could be colonized by the Tau. Like the first sphere, it lasted over 1,000 years. But as time went on and the Tau discovered more and more hostile races, the spheres of expansion slowly started to dwindle out into only lasting a few years and claiming a planet or two at best.
Yeah. Like you can see the first sphere of expansion, it lasted over 1,000 years. It conquered so much. Maybe not conquered. Colonized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second, still a long time. I think it was around like 500 years or something.
Yeah. But even still, like half the time of at least the first one.
Yeah.
Part of that, I think, is definitely due to their rise in technology. The first sphere was pretty much made up of like all...
I don't think they had...
Like colony ships.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
multi-generational, you know, it's going to take us 800 years just to get to this next place.
Yeah. Where, yeah, in the third, they have a couple better technologies, so you're able to mobilize your army quicker and,
right.
you know, do more yeah. battles in a shorter amount of time.
So the Tau needed a new way to colonize, and many different plans were brought forward. You know, you can assume that they're told to expand the military.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you can see the council meeting of all these ethereals yelling at each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. We need more allies! You know? Just... Try to go through the Damocles Gulf again one more time.
Send in the water cast. Maybe they'll last nicely. Like, yeah, they have all these plans for
Should
sure.
we give them the gifts? Like, you know, they're just willing to try anything. But ultimately, it was the secret invention of the AL-38 slipstream module that really kind of brought an end to the debate of what to do. So this module is it's built during this time leading up to the fourth.
Yeah.
For I'm assuming a couple years prior to. No tech is developed that fast.
Yeah. It might have even been developed for the third sphere.
Yeah,
never
exactly.
released, but who knows?
So there was a Tau Earthcast scientist by the name of Ka Buto, and he was developing this new device with the hope that it could offer the Tau faster than light travel. Its main inspiration came from studying Imperial FTL tech along with discarded Kroot war spheres. His finished device functioned by wrapping a Tau ship in a bubble of antimatter that was capable of propelling the ship so fast it could pierce the fabric of reality itself.
Wow. Science.
Antimatter.
Antimatter.
Yeah, they liked some words in there. Yeah.
Experimental uses of these devices were extremely successful and shortened trips from many months into just a few days. So that's the many months is apparently how long it used to take to cross the entire Tau Empire. So like imagine you're at one end and you get a distress call from the other end of the empire.
And you're months away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now it's turned into just a few days. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's not really until you can bridge vast areas of space quickly that you can really build a united, like, empire.
Cool. Yeah, so this function's nothing like what we've ever seen, kind of. It's a weird situation.
It's very science-y, you know? Like,
you can't describe how the antimatter pierces the fabric of reality.
Right, like, what's the propulsion?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Okay.
At least in Imperium Tech, it's magic, but you know exactly how it works.
Warp magic.
Yeah. They rip a hole into the warp, they surround themselves with a bubble of reality, and then they travel through the warp. Their engines aren't producing like crazy propulsion or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just traveling in an area that's really fucked up. And that's just how they do it. But this one, they're getting real Star Trek-y on us. On it. And we'll talk a little later about some thoughts we've had on it, but we're just going to accept it as it is for now.
So it's like, it's just perfect. Like, it's safe and everything. Like, they just...
Well, that's a good question.
Okay.
But I think you're going to answer it in the next portion. So you can pick up where I left off.
Okay, all right. Okay. So, with the Tau Empire surrounded on all sides by enemies or barren rock, The only reasonable way was to further the greater good and expand into the galaxy was to jump over and completely bypass these obstacles. The AL-38 slipstream module was a shot in the dark in the sense that the Tau had no idea what would be awaiting them after emerging from the slipstream, but the Ethereal Council concluded that it was that this was their only course of action.
So Mark actually really turned me on to this idea.
Oh.
Not the first time he's turned me on, and I'm praying it's not the last. Yeah. But this is the most recent, you know. But yeah, we were going through it, and I was just frustrated with, like, you know, you're hemmed in on all sides. Like, why do you just decide that this is what you're going to do? It seemed so very arbitrary to me.
So very random.
Yeah.
And it's random by design. So the tower, they're locked in. They got nowhere else to go. And, like, they don't know how big the galaxy is. They don't know what's beyond. You know, they run into the Imperium on the other side of the Gulf. They don't know that the Imperium controls the entire galaxy, right?
Right. For all they know, this is the only place where the Imperium is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same with, like, you know, the Sotek dynasty. So they're basically like, we don't know what's past them, but if we just get past them, maybe we can start colonizing there. But we clearly can't do enough here.
Maybe there's an entire galaxy ripe for the greater good out there, and this is just the one obstacle we have to get through. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really like that idea of you can really, like, spin this. Like, no, we're about to show all those idiots who are hemming us in. Like, we're just going to jump right over them.
Yeah.
You know, the greater good is better than these people because it's going to be able to go beyond them. So it really, like, I loved that mentality that they would have had in that moment.
Yeah. It's so reminiscent of, like, their first fear of expansion of, like, true space.
Yeah, like, who knows what's out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love how it definitely goes back to that. We are explorers and we're, you know, pioneers.
Yeah. Yeah, like, because the third one was literally just war. Like, there was, you were fighting over a shitty planet that you didn't even need, and you didn't even get it in the end anyways.
Right.
And
now we're back to, like, this age of exploration and pioneer and
optimism.
Something new. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Optimism. I hope that stays.
Well, it will, because it's the Tau, right? So.
All right. Well, under Commander Surestrike, the fourth sphere of expansion was declared, and a great fleet was gathered in space outside of Numenor Point. As each new ship arrived, they were outfitted with the new AL-38, and the fleet was quickly prepared, and many choices were rushed or not considered at all. One such example of this was ignoring the warning that Kabuto said about this new warp module.
Warp?
When asked what would happen if a bunch of these modules were all turned on at once, Kabuto responded, I don't know, but probably shouldn't do that. And obviously, they didn't listen.
They didn't listen.
No. We didn't listen. Yeah, it seems like an odd thing to have the guy who developed this saying, hey, maybe don't do this all at one time in the same area.
Because we're kind of like ripping a hole in space-time, right. You know?
We're surrounding ourselves in a bubble of antimatter. Yeah. So maybe be a little cautious about it. And instead they're like, no, do you not know? We've already sent all the propaganda pamphlets out. We have to do it.
It's that optimism, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. What could possibly stop the greater good, you know? Not your silly little antimatter bubble. So Commander Surestrike, just to clarify, is Puretide the big boy for the Tau?
Yeah, like Puretide's the guy who...
Right.
Who,
So almost all the big names in the Tau are like his students, yeah. Except Surestrike is a student of Shadow Sun.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
just
cool.
Just a little tidbit.
That's a nice tidbit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. A tidbit.
Timbit.
That's nice. That's your timbit for the day, Mark.
Tasty timbit.
All right. So Commander Surestrike, ready to lead his armada, ordered every ship to fire up their AL-38 at the same time. This, of course, didn't end well and led to one of the biggest disasters in Tau history. When enough devices were engaged, a rip in reality form that consumed the fleet, the entirety of the fourth sphere armada was sucked up inside without a trace.
So, bye, I guess.
They didn't listen.
Were they like sucked into the warp then? Like,
yeah.
It's like a worm. Okay. This is the way it is described.
Okay.
Is that it's ripped a hole in reality. And it is a wormhole, but they are in the warp. Because those aren't necessarily, in 40K, those aren't the same thing. Hmm. Like, Mark had a good example, is that Necron constantly use wormholes to transport, like, their warriors through the Night Scythes. And they have them wormholes in their monoliths, you know? So they constantly use that technology, and they don't touch the warp at all.
Hmm.
So it's odd that, like, Lexicanum describes it as a wormhole, and yet we know that these guys end up in the warp. So there's something weird happening there.
Hmm. Yeah, strange.
We need some physicists on, astrophysicists. Right. You know, if we can get Graham McNeil Neil deGrasse on,
Tyson.
Yeah, we can get Neil deGrasse Tyson.
You know, tell us how.
Any other Neils you guys would like on, too, while we're at it?
You know, Neil, tell us how one can rip a hole in space and end up in the immaterium. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, you fucking nerds.
That's funny. Okay, so the Ethereal Council was shocked and scrambled to contain the incident. Unfortunately, it had already been broadcast live to the entire empire. The Ethereals tried to suppress as much of the negative information as possible using propaganda, of course, but in an attempt to reunite and uplift the race after this loss.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I said that wrong, but yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, so they broadcast it live. Everyone sees it. Like, this is like, you know, this has happened 4 times in their history, this kind of event. So everyone's
exactly.
Watching.
Yeah.
It's
monumental.
Yeah. Ooh, it didn't go well. Yeah, you just got to wonder how they tried to spin it. Like, yeah, no, they did get where they needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, they're just straight lying.
They're pulling a full-on China right now, just like, yeah, no, they're over here. They're fine.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see
it's
here.
Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Like, for the entire race, like.
But it's also like a huge loss of manpower and resources. If you build this fleet and then you give them all this brand new device, you're sinking all this money into it, you desperately need new planets for resources, and then all of a sudden, all that power just disappears out of your grasp. Like, you're set back how long to try and just reproduce all those ships?
Especially
that you
for
lost?
Like a stupid reason, too.
Absolutely. For something you were warned, like, don't risk doing.
Yeah, of course. So left behind in the location of the fleet's jump was the beginnings of a wormhole, which would later be used to great effect. Mm-hmm.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the Eternal Horizon was one of the Tau ships actually caught in this fourth sphere of expansion.
Yeah, so many years ago we did that Tau RPG, and it's on the Lorehammer feed, so go back and look for the Eternal Horizon. But this was basically the setting of the RPG that I told, where, you know, this great monumental event, everyone's super hyped, and then...
And then we got caught in the warp.
Yeah. Wow. Like, what happened to you guys is you got flung out across the galaxy and separated from even all the rest of the Tau, and you ended up, you know, as a whole type Star Trek Voyager type vibe. You know? Very much so,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, alone in an unknown part of the galaxy, no idea where we were. Just
every
trying to...
alien is not an alien you've ever met before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everything was very fresh.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. It was super fun. Yeah,
yeah. There was some moments there for sure where it was herding cats. Just like
as it always is playing with us, you know.
Do you guys remember when Christian? He's like, I'm just gonna pilot this devilfish, and it's like one of the first sessions. And he got in the devilfish tank, and he flied it, and he flipped it, and blew it up, and he wrecked your guys' only vehicle.
I feel like I recall that
he killed a couple hostages that were in the back of the vehicle when it flipped. It was so fucking hilarious. Yeah. So go listen to the Tau RPG if you haven't. It was really quite fun.
It's a great hoot, you know. It's like 50 hours long or something.
Yeah.
It's excessively long, but you'll enjoy every minute of it.
So, yeah, that's what happened to the Tau fourth sphere of expansion.
Wow.
So now we're in another section between the spheres, you know. The fourth is gone. They don't have resources for the fifth yet.
Yeah, this is like... Every single ship you had is just gone.
Yeah, probably.
All your army, everything, all of like your fire warriors, your suits, an entire contingent of water cast members, earth cast scientists, a bunch of probably colonizers that were supposed to go with you. Everyone just disappeared.
Ethereals
gone. An entire ethereal, council that would have gone. They're just gone.
Yeah.
So that's a huge blow. It's a much bigger... like a resource blow to the Tau than you might consider initially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's like an entire period of time where they don't really do anything, and it makes complete sense because all they're trying to do is regain. You need an entire generation of people to raise up as new ambassadors and new scientists, new warriors, new pilots, new engineers, you know, like
lost a generation.
It's kind of crazy to think about, like, that, in my opinion, should be given like a title for the Tau. If I think maybe if they weren't probably so like propaganda lied to about it, and if they knew the full scope of how horrible it was,
you're like, it should be like called the Fourth Sphere, the Time of Mourning. Or
exactly. Yeah.
They mourn this event.
It's called like the Lost Generation or like the Lost Families or something, where they just how much did they lose is like really hard to grasp.
Yeah.
When you hear this, and then you immediately move on to the fifth sphere. You don't really think about those consequences of it.
But maybe they weren't lost. Bum, bum, bum. Unbeknownst to the Tau Empire, Commander Surestrike of the fourth sphere was not completely destroyed, but cast deep into the currents of the warp, ambushed and surrounded on all sides by unknown warp entities, not fully understood yet by the Tau. Nearly a third of the fleet was destroyed in these types of raids.
Three quarters.
And the Tau situation was quickly becoming more and more desperate, hopeless, and with many of the auxiliaries praying to whatever would hear them in the warp. Just,
I mean, you're in this, like, the Tau have never really engaged with the warp before.
That's like a hell realm. Like.
It's supposed to make you go insane just even thinking about it, you know? So to be thrown into it with no warning, you know?
Up until this point, the Tau have had very little interactions with any factions of Chaos and basically a zero understanding of anything warp-related. After coming face-to-face with the true reality and horrors of the warp, something flipped in the Tau and their auxiliaries. We don't know how long in the warp, in like warp time, they spent trapped there, but after 10 years of real space-time, the remnants of the fleet emerged, but only with the help of a many-armed entity within the warp, believed to be a possible Chaos God created as an echo of the Tau race.
Yeah, so apparently there was this manifestation of this large being who you know, helped remove the infestations of demons from the ships that were being assaulted, and then like took these ships and guided them out of the warp.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, it would have been pretty wild to see. Mm-hmm. But also, like, probably just as hard to comprehend that.
Yeah.
Like, even if you were to look at that, how do you know that it's truly helping you or benevolent or, yeah. Maybe it looked like a Tau. I don't know.
Just like a really quick, weird thought. So like we know like the Tau are like a caste system. India is a caste system. And like what's their god, their elephant god with the many arms? I wonder if they're trying to at all try to tie like those two like many armed entity and the Tau and the caste. Or if, you know, or if I'm just reaching.
You know what? I haven't looked at it. I don't think...
this is a question for Christian. I'm sorry. I should have asked.
I don't think it's Ganesh that you're thinking of. That's the elephant one. It like is.
I'm ignorant.
Krishna,
I'm gonna be.
Or,
yeah.
Well, I think a number of the deities are depicted as having many arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they're just depending trying to on the lean form into that too? A little bit more.
Right.
Of the avatar or the
Yeah. I mean, it's not entirely... I think that would be an interesting string to pull.
Yeah.
It is an interesting thought, yeah.
We'll give it to Christian. He's way more interested about stuff like that, so...
Yeah. We're going to come back to this many-armed entity and the end of the episode, but we're just going to keep plucking through the notes here, because we have a lot to... Wait, what? They made a... We'll get to it!
We have things to say about the Tau? That's weird.
The survivors eventually emerged, unbeknownst to them, deep in the Kalanath expanse, deep within the Imperium of Man, and quickly colonized the world Nemiyar Atoll, thinking they were forever stranded.
Yeah, imagine, like, you're just... It's exactly like how we dealt, where we come out and we're surrounded by these stars that we've never seen before in an area of space that we had no idea existed. Like, what do you... Of course you believe that you're abandoned forever.
Yeah.
You know? So they do what they do best, and that's...
Colonize? Cool. What became of the Force Sphere's auxiliary has since become a mystery. However, rumors speak of mass expulsions and executions directed at non-Tau within the surviving fleet. It had been theorized that this uncharacteristic action by the Tau was initiated after their trauma of what they had encountered within the warp, somehow blaming the physically or psychically attuned alien races for the catastrophe. Like we know, like the Tau, they weren't responsible for this. They have zero warp presence, essentially. So the natural thing would be like, holy fuck, we've never seen anything like this. These guys are praying to these entities, and now this one, like,
you know, they've told us that there's maybe an area of space that we haven't understood yet or can't comprehend, and they say they have some connection to it, so obviously it's their fault, you know, they're the ones.
This guy over here is manifesting it somehow, like shooting firebolts and
exactly.
Crazy. So they just were like executing everybody then.
Yeah.
Insane.
Like, yeah, all their auxiliaries.
Wow.
Pretty much.
It,
well, no, sorry. It's a mystery what happened to them.
Me, no. Wearing like an entire belt of skulls of their allied races or something. I've never seen those races before.
They disappeared in the warp.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went. So survivors of the Force Sphere continued to have a dark reputation. Though we'll come back to them eventually.
Yeah, because you see a lot more of that manifesting within the fifth sphere.
Yeah.
So fourth sphere, ultimately, massive failure.
Yeah. Right now. It's still massive failure. Never mind. So I tried to save it, but then I forgot. Third of their fleet.
Three quarters.
Three quarters, son of a bitch.
When you're looking at the perspective of the Tau, they've lost everything. For as far as they know, the entire fourth sphere has disappeared in a ball of fire.
Yeah.
And then when you're looking at it from the perspective of Sure Strike and the actual members of the fourth sphere, like they've lost 75% of all their... everything that they brought with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, most of them now think it's okay to just go around murdering their allies.
They're crazy now.
Yeah, like the warp taint is on them for sure.
Absolutely.
To some degree.
You cannot come out of that unscathed.
Yeah.
You know, if they had come out completely hunky-dory and just maybe with some migraines, I would have been a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Is you we constantly hear about how horrible and wretched and...
Yeah, to even look into the
malignant
eyes.
Malignant, yeah. It is, yeah.
It'll cause madness.
Yeah, exactly. So this is an absolutely normal reaction, I think, for what they experienced. I'm surprised it wasn't worse.
I'm actually, you know? Yeah, me too.
Like...
Yeah.
How come some of them haven't just started worshiping Nurgle at this point? Or like maybe even in their killings of these auxiliaries, they were performing ritual and sacrifice in an attempt to appease whatever being was beyond there. So
skulls for the skull throne.
That's right. Arms for the many armed god, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
We are going to take a quick ad break. But we will be right back. And welcome back. So we just finished off with the fourth sphere and talking about how terrible it was for the Tau. And now we're just going to move on to the fifth?
Yeah, the fifth sphere.
Okay. So 10 years, at least, after the disaster of the fourth sphere and the creation of a warp rift right on their doorstep, within their empire, you know, the Tau Empire received some miraculous news. Coming through the hole in space was a Tau drone from the lost fourth sphere of expansion. Quickly dubbed the Startide Nexus, the Tau Empire found they were able to stabilize this rift in space with the use of their drone technology. After sending through a recon probe that safely returned with proof of the fourth sphere's survival, the Tau leadership announced a new sphere, the fifth sphere of expansion. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that they give a period of time in between. It would have been too crazy if it was like a year later, you know, boom, now we're ready for an entire another sphere. Yeah. And even 10 years is fast to me.
Yeah. But like I see it, that was not their plan. Like their plan was not a 10-year plan. They probably rushed this. Like,
absolutely, you know, yeah.
It's like they found out the forest is alive and they're like, well, we can count on that now. We should probably do something now.
Yeah.
Mobilize now. We don't have a crazy amount, but...
I also feel like... do you remember there's like an American president who like announced his like New Deal or whatever, which like really pumped up everyone's vitality and sent a lot of people back to work. There was a lot of makeshift government projects.
Okay.
I kind of see this fifth sphere. It's announced and all of a sudden the Ethereal Council says, we're going to build more ships. We're going to pour more resources into our universities and our fire warriors. And now all of a sudden there's jobs for everyone. And you know, couldn't make it into the Fire Warrior school before, but now they're taking everybody. In fact, we're conscripting you into the
Congratulations,
fifth
citizen.
Yeah, exactly.
You're drafted.
Are you ready to serve the Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm four years old and I'm handed a pulse rifle. But I definitely see a lot of that happening. Just with like at the speed that they move.
Yeah.
There's no way that they're just building an entire fleet, a Starfleet, you know, in that long.
Yeah. So. That makes sense.
So this Startide Nexus soon became one of the most valuable strategic assets of the Empire, with a large portion of their resources poured into protecting and securing this spatial anomaly. This heavily fortified area of space was then named the Zone of Silence. You know, nothing in, nothing out that we don't authorize. This is a Zone of Silence. It's awesome that it's smack dab in the middle of the Tau Empire.
Yeah.
This is the perfect solution to what you were sharing before about how nobody could get out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is nice since it's in the center too. They don't have to worry about enemies necessarily fighting for it right away. Like they have to get to it first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's quite the crazy thought. So like at this point during the fifth and kind of the fourth, end of the fourth between or whatever, the Great Warp Rift is what, you know, kind of split open the galaxy, and this is one of the few like stable routes to get from one side of the rift to the other. And what's crazy about it too is you don't have to try to get close to the rift and navigate going through the rift, and now you're right in the fucking storm.
Yeah. So that is one of the big problems with Vigilus.
Yeah.
Right? Is that is one of the few planets that you can actually chart a course to from one side of the rift to this planet, and then you can chart a safe course from that planet to the other side.
Yeah.
But you still are very close to the warp.
Yeah, and everyone is trying to use
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. The Tau have this crazy secret path, tunnel now, that completely bypasses all the warp fuckery of the Cicatrix Maledictum.
We talked too a little bit about where it went. It opens up kind of in the northwest of the northeast.
Ultimus Segmentum.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of far up there, kind of far away, but yeah, it's cool.
So led by, now they've reawakened Commander Shadow Sun for the fifth sphere.
Perfect.
The newly created Tau fleet prepared to enter the Startide Nexus. Once the wormhole was breached and safely exited, Shadow Sun quickly assimilated the remnants of the fourth sphere under her command. The majority of the action within the fifth sphere was focused on securing the space around the Startide Nexus on the Nemyar Atoll side. You know, they've had at least 10 years to secure it on the Tau side,
yeah.
But now they need to make sure that, you know, no one can just come in from this side,
yeah.
Because then they would have a sure shot right to the heart of the Tau Empire.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Danger.
It's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Absolutely, yeah. Within... Or sorry, the majority, yes. Shadow Sun engaged many planets, with the majority of them populated by the Imperium. So that's kind of another slap in the face, really, to realize that, oh, we're on a completely separate yeah. area of the galaxy, and humans.
Yeah, yeah. And not just humans, the same fucking humans.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You're still looking at the Aquilas, you're like, yeah. Wow.
A lot of skull motifs everywhere yeah. still.
Yeah.
Maybe even some space marines, and you're like, shit.
This is kind of like, I always try to put the Tau, this is how I find them grimdark. They're so hopeful, they're optimistic, but they shouldn't be. And they just have to keep trying to grind forward in this optimistic way, but they just realize the whole galaxy is infected with humans, you know?
And it is an infestation.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so you're not fighting your way through these guys. Like, okay, you might claim another planet, so a couple planets over here. You're not going to battle these.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you can't, like, subjugate this race.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't silence them or relegate them to a one planet that you never like let them leave or whatever. This will, like, maybe at this point they're realizing, like, humanity is probably one of their, like, big enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Within the few short months, Shadow Sun had secured a vast area around the Startide Nexus and had even helped to establish several new septs, including Faisan, Kortal, Suamith, and Yovai, which we will go into some details about
them
later.
They're cool. There's some cool ones.
Shadow Sun's aggressive expansion was halted with the arrival of a sizable Death Guard warband. It was their intention to take control of the Startide Nexus as a stable path across the Great Rift, which is, like, that's a huge strategic ability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shadow Sun immediately grasped the significance of protecting the Startide Nexus and poured all her available energy into defeating this Death Guard invasion. Unfortunately, several Death Guards were able to breach the Nexus, though they were very small in numbers, as the rest were either defeated, withdrew, or just simply disappeared. Though the Fifth Sphere has continued on, defending Tau space from Orc invasions, Tyranid splinter fleets, and Imperial engagements, there has been an uncharacteristic tone that has taken many of the Fourth Sphere survivors.
Mm-hmm. So they jump across the galaxy. They also realize, holy fuck, Tyranids are over here.
Yeah.
Orcs are over here. They didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, I think that every one of their expansions, they gain a little more perspective.
Yeah.
And at some point, they're just going to realize that they are a tiny little speck in the scale of the galaxy. And that's just going to crush them.
Yeah. And when you believe in something, you know, like the greater good, and you're not able to fulfill it, you know, that's
Are
that's
you
dark.
Failing? Is the greater, like, good failing?
No, was you it personally are failing. The greater good does not fail.
But if it's true,
Eric, the greater good does not fail.
Yes, sir. Another helping of porridge, please, sir. I'll say my greater good prayers.
Yeah, so let's talk about the fallout of the Fourth Sphere, because this is very cool, and this is, I love this, what happens, so.
Yeah. All right, so after going through the disastrous failure that was the Fourth Sphere, these Fourth Sphere Tau have grown increasingly violent, hostile, and even xenophobic. On several of the Imperial worlds overtaken by the Tau, there have been mass purgings of the populations at the command of these Fourth Sphere survivors.
It's so cool.
Yeah. That is very uncharacteristic of the Tau.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just picture some sweet models of, like, you know, a Tau with, like, scalps on his belt or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, and, like, being vindictive about it and almost even, like, cruel in how they are performing these, like, mass killings or whatever.
Well, and doesn't it go against the greater good, kind of? Like,
yeah.
I would assume so. Yeah. Like, yes. Like, it's a race that you've subjugated,
like, your higher ups have made alliances with, potentially. They've signed, like, paperwork.
They might have,
like,
even accepted the greater good.
Absolutely,
right? Like, some of these humans, right?
And then these Tau are just saying, like, I don't care. You know, you're a Xenos, you are responsible for what we went through, so.
yeah that's crazy. So several auxiliaries have been unnecessarily sacrificed in combat on the orders of their commanders, which can only serve to create animosity between the races of the greater good. Eventually, these commanders were disciplined with a ritual punishment called the Malkla. No further information by Shadow Sun and the Ethereal Council.
Yeah, I wish we heard even just a glimpse of what the Malkla pertained.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's definitely they sit them in front of, like, a screen. They strap them to a chair. They peel their eyes open, you know. Or maybe that's just their own brainwashing. Maybe the Malkla, maybe they're like, they all lose a finger in public, you know, like some kind of public ritual where everyone has to, like, see their punishment or whatever.
Yeah. They do a great job of describing the Tau Tesla-ra, I think it's called.
That's the binding ritual?
Yeah, the bonding.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, like, they have their bonding knives and they cut, like, their step symbols into their hand and, like, just a bunch of cool little stuff like that. So hopefully we get some more.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
I'm going to like to think, though, it involves a bonding knife somehow, because it's just like...
Maybe they cut their hair or something with the bonding. Maybe they cut their finger off with that knife.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like to... I like the idea of losing, like, your finger as a permanent sign of your shame, you know, something that everyone would, like, see or notice right away. There's this series, Way of Kings, or the Stormlight Archive, the one with those, like, the crazy armor. I've talked about it before. Anyways, one of the punishments there is that if you were, like, a violent criminal, you were branded right on your forehead with this, like, glyph that stated violent criminal. And it's one of those, like, you can't run from it, you can't hide it, because as soon as you put something on your head, someone will say, what are you covering up?
Strange. Yeah, so, I wonder what it was.
So you're for that kind of...
Not in all cases, but I feel like... You should, like, if a Tau comes into your shop and you're just a human guy selling some crappy little moonshine over here, and if you instantly could see that this person has committed heinous crimes against your race for the only reason that you're human, you might, you know, prepare yourself a little differently for that. As opposed to if you didn't know, you would say, hey, come meet my family, you know, have a drink with us, have dinner.
Tell me more about the greater good.
Oh, it involves my death? Oh, that's weird.
That's fucking weird.
I'm not saying that's what we should do, but I can see how that might help someone at some point.
We do know that whoever was... involved in this were eventually sent back to the front lines or, like, you know, reassimilated back into the Empire. Probably not their current positions or anything like that. But
So they, even though they went through this punishment or whatever, they are still Tau. And in the greater good, the Tau are still at the top of everything else.
Right.
So
interesting.
It's hard to, like, put them on a level where they would be lesser than any of the other races, because I think that would really mess with the caste system that they have.
So after one too many massacres, such as a Kroot massacre that happened, eventually the Ethereal Council just said, you know what, just the Force Sphere cannot have any more auxiliaries. So
anyone who is, like, in the Force Sphere, we just removed all alien auxiliaries from them. Don't give them the opportunities to engage with these people. Like, that's how badly affected these people were, the Tau.
Well, even killing the Kroot, like, those are their good buddies.
Those are,
like,
some longtime allies.
Thousands of years allies.
You defended their home world. They have, like, a life debt to you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I think, like, I like how... that shows how messed up the warp really affected these Force Sphere survivors.
Yeah. Very cool. So let's go talk about the steps that were founded. The first one was Phi San, and it was a starkly beautiful planet. And it was the first world established by the Fifth Sphere of Expansion, and is home to the Colonial Watercast Headquarters, which governs the processing and integration of conquered foes and newly encountered races into the Tau Va. So this is like a completely separate empire, essentially. Like, yeah, sure, they're connected to the Tau Empire, but they are ultimately across the galaxy. And it's cool when we talk about these planets, like, they're talking about different like things that would be essential, or like they're setting up a whole bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, I think the main thought there is what happens when the Startide Nexus fails.
Exactly. Or even if it's just for a month that you can't get through it.
Like, absolutely.
This has to be a second empire as well.
It has to be able to sustain itself with all of our regular forms of government and our chains of command and our resource management, whatever. Yeah.
Fien San's three moons are home to vast Corvetta shipyards. All this, plus the Seps world's location within the heart of the Nemyar Atoll, makes Fien San a key strategic location from which colonization and patrol fleets are continuously dispatched across the nascent Fifth Sphere colonies.
Yeah. So yeah, it makes complete sense that it's such a hub. If it's like right next to the Startide Nexus, it's in the heart of Tau defended space on that side.
Yeah.
Checks out.
The next one is Kor Tal.
Kor Tal is a Tau Empire sept world that orbits a black hole.
Yeah.
So they got another one of those.
Keep reading. No, this is a black hole, not a wormhole.
Oh, my bad. Located within the Nemyar Atoll. Due to this, only thermo-inductive shields and artificial satellite flares render this harsh world of permanent darkness livable. Permanently dark. I guess, black holes just pull everything into them.
That's
right?
Interesting,
even
actually,
light. Despite this, though, it is one of the most vital Fifth Sphere of Expansion sept worlds, as dozens of AI-automated drone ports harvest pure dark matter from the black hole's event horizon. This priceless resource has most notably been used to power the Nova reactors of XV-104 Riptide battlesuits, but it has many other potential military and industrial applications.
Cool. Fucking, they're mining black holes.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you do that, but...
I don't... Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though.
Okay, sorry. I was just... Like, I knew... I realized, like, antimatter is something that we theorize, right?
That's Yeah, I don't think it's been confirmed, but it's...
Right, but we think we see whatever it does. And then is dark... I didn't know if dark matter was, like, the same thing or different, but...
I think it is different.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. It has not been observed directly. If it exists, it must barely interact with ordinary matter and radiation. So they say it powers their nuclear reactors. I wonder if... It must be radioactive at some level or whatever.
Powers?
It powers
their suits.
The Nova reactors of their Riptide battle suits.
Oh, but that's not nuclear.
A Nova reactor?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think that's a nuclear thing.
Maybe I'm just going crazy over here.
I don't know what a Nova reactor
is. A Nova reactor is a new and experimental energy system used by a Tau, powered by dark matter. The Nova reactor allows pilots bursts of powerful but potentially dangerous energy through their vehicle systems. Currently is equipped on and lists a couple battle suits.
I mean, I guess it doesn't explicitly say it is nuclear, but it sounds to me like that could be nuclear.
Well, it could
powerful
be fusion.
Powerful but dangerous. Well, that is nuclear. Nuclear fusion? Nuclear fission?
We don't like to talk about nuclear here.
I'm going to build a bomb, Mark. And if I have to do it by mining a black hole and gaining access to dark matter, I'm going to do it.
I believe in you.
So, but that is interesting. Mining a black hole.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Like Tau getting almost to a level of like Necron understanding.
Weirdness,
I mean, nowhere close.
No,
but
they are. I would assume that they're on the path to it way more likely than the Imperium.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Their technology does seem to like rapidly increase. Like,
yeah, it goes through these jumps, where they have massive explosions of
But I guess they've been that way since the beginning, right?
Like, they've always been, looking to, like, grow and expand.
Yeah.
And this, all their drone ports at this quartile, completely driven by AI. That's like another thing you just don't see anywhere else, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, so the next sept is Susuamith. The Susuamith is an orbital shipyard possessed by the Tau Empire and was originally known as the Glory of Aegrir. Before it was taken from the Imperium in the fifth sphere of expansion. It is led by a ruling council containing a member of each of the Tau castes with ethereal Unsong in overall command. After several acts of sabotage aboard the shipyard led to numerous deaths, the ethereal council tasked investigators to look into the matter. This investigation led to the discovery of a gene stealer cult infestation. Crazy. So the cult was still small enough with some amount of effort, the cult was purged from the shipyard's inhabitants.
Cool. There's a lot of cool stuff with this one. Just the thought of them now holding this cool imperial shipyard and what that could mean for them. Like, I don't think they're really getting much technologically from it, but it could be just some massive imperial scale megalithic thing, you know?
Sure. You have examples of imperial, like, manufactorums taking over continents.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows how big this, like, installation really is.
Yeah. So, they just gain it, and it's sweet. The other thing, Tau gene stealers. I love the concept, man. Yeah.
Has that ever been modeled? Like,
yeah, I've seen some models of it. Cool. Yeah.
The crazy thing I think about this is you can almost never fully get rid of a gene stealer cultist infestation. It is extremely difficult, and I don't think the Tau fully understand how they would do
that's
that.
That's actually very cool.
Yeah, that guy's sweet.
The little pulse rifle pistols, those are awesome.
Yeah. The extra arm on there.
Yeah, the Tau, like, battle plate on the chest looks very cool.
Yeah. So I love that. Now, like, if you do want to do some gene stealer Tau, you got a good spot, at least an origin spot. You'd be like, the cult started here, a couple guys escaped, and...
Yeah, all it takes is one, too, you know, like...
Yeah, but it's a cool starting spot.
Yeah.
Okay, up next we got the Yova. The Yova is unique due to the fact that the world is just... Well, it's just a flat, circular expanse of solid matter.
It's like Terra.
Real life Earth.
That's right. Yeah. Real life Earth.
Yeah, not 40K Terra.
Sorry, 40K Terra is a sphere.
It is a sphere.
Which is not real.
Yeah, of course not.
Why would a planet be a sphere? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
The origin of this anomaly continues to be the subject of intense debate amongst the astrophysicists of the Earth cast, with the most popular theory that Yova was shaped by ancient terraforming technology. This would explain the oddly geometric shape of the major landmasses and the lack of a planetary core. Yeah. I don't know how to unpack that, but...
Yeah.
It's got to be Necron. Who else? I mean, sure, maybe there's been thousands of other potential alien races, but no, it's a tomb world. Definitely.
They just, like, smushed a planet, essentially. Like, they just kind of...
Yeah, it's just like a disc floating in space. This is.
Yeah.
With an atmosphere and an orbit. And...
Yeah. What? Yeah, despite its odd appearance, however, the Sept World has breathable atmosphere and soaring valleys and great plains, and have been claimed as the training grounds of Nemir Atoll's Firecast.
It's so weird.
It is odd. Yeah. I wish we saw more... crazy things like that in the galaxy. You know, just like
oddities.
There's a planet, a disc planet. That we just found, and it's nice.
It's not so so when you go up on the bottom, like, how does this work? So many questions.
Is it spinning like how a coin spins on a table, or is it rolling and spinning that way?
Or like a CD, just like record.
It's pretty crazy to think that about.
And that's kind of the four major septs that they did. Couple of the cool things. Yeah, Nemir Atoll is kind of like the region of space. It's kind of cool. But they have, like, a bunch of little places.
Yeah, they've really carved out this second Tau Empire here. And it must, at this point, like, the goal must be to have two equally strong, equally sustainable, like, footholds of Tau in the space.
Yeah.
I see no other reason to pour as much energy and time as they are into it. Yeah. So.
Cool. Tales of the War.
Yeah,
so, so many good things to talk about in the Tales section.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess, for fourth and fifth sphere. Yeah. It's very quick and fast.
Interesting.
And the fifth sphere is still kind of going on.
Yes, that's where they're at right now, right? Yeah. With the whole Cicatrix Maledictum. They, like, Shadow Sun just finished fighting off the Death Guard.
Yeah.
Did they get through that Startide Nexus? Did they appear on the other side? I don't even think they confirmed that.
Yeah.
Some, like, went in, but I don't think they ever say they came out. So that's good news, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Nemiara Atoll is kind of cool, too, because it's like the Dark Imperium, almost. It's on the far side. It's away from the Empire. It's away from the Emperor, you know. It's on the dark side of the Great Rift. You got way more crazy shit happening here than on the good side of the Tau Empire. You got these crazy Force Sphere guys going around and, like,
Murdering
your allies and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's like the Wild West of Tau space, you know.
Lawlessness,
yeah. I'm sure they have a couple laws, but
it's the new world.
But you can also go around and killing auxiliaries, so it's a fun place.
And then you just get a little Malk Law.
Yeah.
And then a little reassimilation, and you're back to normal. Yeah,
the trick is, if you do it 10 times, they can't cut off any more fingers.
That's right.
Fucking idiots.
Stupid.
Yeah.
They must have bionics, right?
Yeah. They'll cut those off then.
We will surgically implant bionics to remove them.
Yeah. Okay, so where do we want to start with all this stuff? There's a couple big topics. So, like, the Chaos God, potentially, what that's all about.
Yeah, let's talk about the deity, the greater good.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, I have not read the book, so I don't know how exactly this all works out, but I think I like it now.
You do like it.
Yeah, I think I do. When it first came out, it seemed to seem so janky and stuff. And, like just the first thought, like, how did the Tau create this warp entity? And then even just, like, the auxiliaries, you wonder how they created it. But the big thing is, like, this happened right in the peak of the Cicatrix Maledictum kind of exploding. The peak of the craziest warp activity the galaxy has seen in 10,000 years. So it's kind of like, yeah, if these humans are in the warp and they're thinking this and it's already super turbulent, super crazy, yeah, maybe it can happen. I'm not as opposed as what I originally was when I heard of the idea of a greater good god. Having said
I'm
that,
I'm still confused about how it would form exactly.
Well, like, yeah, so the warp, it's all based off, like, it's the reflection of your emotion. So if enough people in during that sphere we're praying or whatever, like, you know, they're lost in the warp, they're calling out to deities, they're calling out to the greater good, save us, greater, or whatever they're doing.
And this is the auxiliaries you're talking about, because the Tau don't have a warp
presence.
It's
the
right?
auxiliaries.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, like, maybe, like, the Tau do have some warp present, but
it's just like every living thing has a reflection in the warp. It's just the Tau are so small that most warp entities would just skip over them because they're just not worth their time.
But enter the Great Rift. Now maybe if this Tau is only a 0.1 of a soul, now it's a 10. And now it's a lot of Tau essence pouring their thoughts into the greater good, as well as these other psychic races doing it as well. Yeah. And the other thing I kind of have been kind of... they never confirmed that it is, like, another Chaos God. It could just be a warp entity, you know. They could have even created this warp entity, but that doesn't make it like this. We don't have a fifth Chaos God.
No.
Yeah. You know?
Just because it exists in the warp and its origin is from there does not make it inherently chaos.
Yeah, right? And, like, it doesn't even seem like it has the same powers as the other gods with the ability to create demons and stuff, but, you know, it's so new.
Also, it seems benevolent, right?
I mean, we have only seen it once, and its actions seem to save an entire, well, 25% whatever was left. So
weird.
You only have, like, one good encounter to go on, and that was a pretty positive experience, I would say. Like, from the Tau's perspective, like, maybe if they took some time to think critically about what happened, they could
and maybe if it didn't happen in the warp after they just watched all their friends murdered one by one,
right? Sure. And gone insane
you know? And, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would say it is like a good thing. I would not say it is evil. It's too fast and it's too powerful and it's too shoehorned. Like, it took the Eldar race 60 million years of slow debauchery to build Slaanesh. And Slaanesh's birthing pains lasted for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I obviously, like, the power level of this god, this deity, does not come anywhere close. Maybe all it was capable of was saving 25% of this fleet.
Yeah.
That is not... I would not say that is not extraordinarily powerful, but it is some power. I just think that if the only thing that was necessary for its creation was the psychic awakening that's happened during this great rift, I'm pretty sure we would have seen other entities explode in power with this great rift.
Sure.
Mainly Gork and Mork.
Sure.
Like, if everything is really amped up to 10, like the orcs that are already pouring stuff into, we would have seen a massive thing from them. I think of the Emperor and all those people praying power to him. You don't really see it. And I don't think this is, like, I just don't think that the writers are thinking about those consequences in that moment. Mm-hmm. But that would be my expectation, I guess. Okay, so if they wanted to say that that was the case, and the reason that this god now exists is because of the psychic outpouring due to the Great Rift, then I would explore that as well in the context of everything else as well in the galaxy.
Sure.
And I just don't think it has.
Yeah.
But that isn't to say that that isn't how it is.
Yeah.
I'm tripping over myself right now.
There's just so many books, you can't read them all.
It's true.
Do you know if, like, was this thing formed at the same time, or did it just kind of waltz along and be like, hey, I'm going to save you guys?
Yeah, it sounds like it's, like, birth. It's formed.
Okay. Yeah, it manifested first in that moment.
Oh, strange.
Like, just look at Yvrain and Inead and how long it took to birth that new god. And that was, they were being very intentional with that.
Choosing planets that are, like, the perfect location to be psychically attuned, and
using, like, Eldari souls, which are one of the most potent psychic souls to exist. So
okay, so do we just want to chalk this up to a Chinchian demon then doing Chinchian things?
I don't mind thinking that this is some other warp entity maybe assuming the look of what people thought the greater good would do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily even have to be chaos, but I do like the chaos aspect of it.
Yeah, like, there's so many different types of warp entities, like, so.
Yeah, and all of them have their own mission and their own goal, you know? Yeah. So maybe there's just a passing entity, and it said, well, I'm going to assume this form, save you, I'm going to set myself up as your deity.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not, that is not outside of my realm of possibility at this point.
I would like to see more of it, though. Like,
yeah.
Hear more about it.
Personally, I think we'd be better off without it. I liked the fact that this race was kind of ignorant of the warp and was purposefully kept. It feels like the GW just refuses to write them about and the warp together.
Yeah.
So I'll just keep them separate.
Yeah.
And it's easy enough to do it. They just they don't trust it, so they don't touch it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't need anything beyond that. But now they kind of feel like they have to have this tie to the warp somehow because of this greater good deity. So,
It's not what I would have went with, but I don't mind it.
So, I don't think it's not ruining the Tau for me, you know.
No, already.
Exactly.
Ruined.
Yeah. You can't get worse than the worst. So, but if their ideology, which was based around the idea of this philosophy of the greater good, where we can work together to overcome any differences. And if this god is truly born out of this, do you think that will change anything? Like, what if the god all of a sudden decides, I don't like this ethereal cast?
Yeah. Well, here's the kind of thing about it. Like, the Tau don't like this god. Like, they're actively hunting down humans that
they believe
were involved in its creation. Like, so I don't think they really necessarily care what that god says. I don't think the Ethereal Council cares what fuck that god says.
What if, here's just a theory, what if it's sort of like a psychic manifestation of the greater good itself? And they just don't understand that.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how they describe it. Like, you know, if everyone's pouring their thoughts into the greater good, but
it just,
what is,
would it have a will? You
yeah,
know?
Like, what is its goals? I guess to
to spread the greater
good. it's the greater good manifest.
Yeah.
Would it, yeah. Do you think that might alter how you view the greater good, though? If you, like, the greater good is supposed to be this idea you carry, but now there is an actual being who is the ultimate representation of this greater good.
Yeah.
What if you don't, you no longer fit in this greater good's view of the greater good? Yeah. Can it grow beyond what the greater good initially designed for itself? So
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it does, I do feel like it kind of makes them less unique now.
Yeah.
Whereas before they had this philosophy, whereas a lot of other races had gods and stuff.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Instead of
so I think in that way it is kind of disappointing.
I agree. I would have preferred to see them completely outside the warp. And now it feels like you're forced, like, okay, well, now there is a warp connection with the Tau.
Sure.
And they believe so strongly in the greater good, but now it's just going to turn into a dogmatic religious tradition.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know. Like, it might not do that, but that's just where
or maybe, like, on the other side of the rift, it'll be, like, more of, like, a cult spinoff of the greater good with this deity now, and it'll be, like, a... And they'll be sort of like this side of the rift has this weird religion, and this side has the philosophy. It's, you know,
I could definitely see that. I really like Mark's idea of the dark Tau and this idea that there are Tau that. Do you think they like twist the greater good, or do you think they abandon it? Do you think their actions fit in the greater good? Do you think they're just insane and they aren't following it anymore?
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know. They must follow it to some degree still.
It's too much a part of the Tau to be abandoned completely, right?
Yeah, like the greater good, they might just cut it back to just being like the greater good only applies to the Tau.
Sure, they take like a weird extremist purist look at it, and they say all these other races that we've allowed in actually don't belong in the greater good.
Yeah, like look at what these other races are doing. They create chaos gods.
That is not part of the greater good.
That's not even part of the good of the galaxy.
Right.
You know?
You could totally have a portion of them who believe they are doing the true greater good's work in this.
Yeah.
I love the idea of just insane Tau.
Yeah, like you must have
corrupted.
Where like the ones that are actually in it and then are, you know, it only happened 10 years ago, so they're still all around these guys. They might be mad, and then their children now have like this warp taint to them, and
Yeah, and it'll never leave. Like, I love the idea of how insidious the warp is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, once it touches you, you're kind of just done. Especially because they have no way to counteract it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder at some point if they'll like cut off the force sphere guys. Like, they've already kind of limited how the force sphere interacts. So, like, well, you're not allowed to be around auxiliaries anymore. At one point, will they eventually be like, okay, you're not around other Tau,
and then just exile them. Yeah, then they're on their own planet.
Yeah,
now we're just bombing the planet.
What for other reasons?
Right. Yes,
to crack the crust of the planet
to gain access to its precious goo inside.
Yeah.
Part of me wants them to use, like the Ethereal Council, to use this as an excuse to take a very anti-warp stance and say, look at what happened the last time we tried to engage with this. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. We will now refuse to ever look at warp technology. We're not trying to replicate. We're not going to duplicate. We're going to go our own way on it. Personally, I'd love to see a Tau separated completely from the warp.
Yeah.
So I made this collage, and there's this really rare piece of Tau artwork. I found it in a White Dwarf. But yeah, it's like I'll have to post it to the Discord because it's so sweet. But it looks like a dark Tao. He's like got tattoos, like he's wearing crazier armor. Like, it's so cool. That is now like my true force fear, man.
Is that what you would say? Like, is that like John Blanche style?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I don't know if it's definitely by him, but it has that like those lines in it, and it's a very ominous, menacing picture.
Yeah, it's not like any Tao you ever see.
Right,
and it's cool now that we actually have an avenue to try to do some of these more like crazy Tao and have it a little more acceptable.
So I like how much beefier and bulkier that guy's looks, because the Tao are, they're quite a thin, slim looking race.
Yeah.
Even the Fire Warriors are pretty like tall.
Yeah.
Could you bulk them up somehow and make like more mean, menacing looking Fire Warriors? Would you just screen stuff, or would you use different bodies?
The easiest one would just get some like Cetacean arms and slap those bitches on.
Very muscly.
Yeah. You just slap some muscle Tao together. You know, slap a skull
simple.
On. Simple. Very simple. Yeah, man.
To go right next to your Gene Stealer Tao, right?
Yeah. It's cool. I really actually like what they've kind of done. They've opened up a lot of cool story opportunities, and while I'm not a fan of every one of them, they're there, and they have a lot of opportunities to do new and exciting things that we've never really seen with the Tao, such as Dark Tao, or their interactions more now with the Warp, or whatever the Second Empire that essentially is a Dark Tao Empire. Dark Imperium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Better this than just, oh, hey, I'm a great Tao from Tao.
Yeah.
Great, you're like every other Tao out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cool. What's next?
Okay. So I got a little bit of a problem.
Of course.
All right, fine. It's not a little problem. It's a big problem. With the AL-38 Slipstream module.
Okay.
Now,
is it just because you don't understand the science? Because
oh no, I understand the science.
I'm not a simpleton.
Yeah, sure, it's rocket science, but hey, you know. So it's this module is built from studying human FTL and Kroot war spheres.
Yeah.
So human faster than light travel is done by putting a psyker inside a bubble. In the warp drive, and then having that psyker expand a bubble of reality around a ship, and then ripping a hole in the galaxy, entering the warp, and then floating this bubble of reality through the warp, and then exiting.
Yeah.
That is how human FTL works.
It sounds crazy, but it's all space magic, so it's fine.
Exactly. And it's very simple to understand the basic mechanics of it. You know, it's not using some crazy materials for like hyper propulsion. It's not bending light or gravity or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just warp magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have the Kroot war spheres who use warp drives.
Yeah.
And they straight up just go into the warp, and for some reason they just have a sixth sense and are able to avoid nasty pockets of the warp, and they are able to exit at good, hospitable, inhabitable planets. And no one knows how they do it. It's just like a sixth sense that they have. Yeah. They can just pilot through it. So if you were to look and use those two different examples as like, I'd like to build a new device and I'm going to use the two of these things. How on earth does your new device not use the warp?
Yeah. Those two things use the warp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're powered by warp shit.
Yeah.
So you're building this engine. Yes, I've built this engine that has nothing to do with the warp, but I use these two things to do it.
Yeah.
So that's one of my problems with it, is they're just throwing shit at you, hoping that you'll just disregard it and be like, oh, they use this and this. And you're supposed to just say
throw
thumbs
antimatter up. Yeah, but then it's like, okay, so now can other races start doing this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And
can you really look at this tech and come up with something completely different and then give credit to it? Anyways, so it doesn't do anything with warp tech, but it should. Yeah. According to their description of how it's made. Or completely abandon this thought that you used human FTL and Kroot war spheres. You don't need it.
Yeah.
You can just be a Tao scientist coming up with this shit on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't need to include that. You can just say you're smart.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's not like they're not smart. It's right. Not like you're a fucking orc scavenger where you're yeah. trying to pick yeah. together this bird people's technology.
Do you guys ever see like the Ancient Alien shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And do you ever hear them say, ancient astronaut theorists believe that they must have had aliens because the people here are just too stupid to figure out how to do it on their own.
Yeah.
Or they were just smart.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And they had something we don't know about.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to come up with excuses to explain away that an alien race just developed this technology.
Yeah.
So just call it what it is. Say they just developed it. Just remove the human FTL and Kroot Warsphere from it.
Why didn't they just use the Kroot Warsphere? Like, why didn't they just...
Don't ask too many questions, because then...
the Ethereal Council stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would have been cooler, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been way better.
Yeah.
We've talked about it so many times. Like, how the fuck are they not using their auxiliaries, warp-capable ships, the Tau? Yeah, like,
so many of the Tau,
like, if they're such
allies.
Good, if the Kroot are such good pilots to navigate through the warp like that, why didn't they just, like, use them? Like,
yeah. And the Kroot aren't even the best auxiliary space pilots that the Tau have. They have the race called the Nikasar, which are, like...
It's like an only psychic race.
Yeah.
That's all they do is psychic shit.
Yeah, and they're known for being, like, some of the best spacefarers in the entire galaxy.
Crazy.
But they don't use it.
See, that would have made sense, since like they have the greater good, they've incorporated these races in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so weird the way they've kind of gone about it all.
Welcome to the bullshit town.
And you could have came up with actually a cooler way to tear a hole in space than just you making the dumbest mistake in all of your species history.
Oh, I'd love to get into that.
Yeah.
So they have now. They have this mod. Sorry,
just on the quick Kroot sphere thing.
Okay,
there's a cool theory about how they do navigate, and it's because originally an Imperial ship landed on Peck, their homeworld, and crash landed. So when a Kroot found it, they actually were able to eat the navigator brain.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, and then that's where they originally got their warp capable abilities from, is from like a crash lander. So then they eat the navigator. Now there's like a navigator Kroot, essentially.
100% makes sense.
Yeah. That's cool.
That makes
very cool.
It's just stupid how good that works, and you can't come up with like a good reason for Tau.
Exactly. And also, crazy. Like, the Kroot are so cool. Like, I'd like to see them incorporated just more.
Absolutely,
you know? Like, they're such an awesome race.
Okay,
carry on.
I'm not even done with this stupid module. Like, I still have more bullshit about it. So you get now you have this module that surrounds itself with a bubble of antimatter, and this bubble of antimatter is capable of propelling it through the fabric of reality itself. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no. So the bubble is also the propulsion? Is that what they're saying?
That's what they say. So I think that's just Star Trek science mumbo jumbo bullshit that they're just trying to, like, here's a crappy explanation that you're just going to have to regurgitate, even though it makes no sense. So I think they could have done better with that, but that's not even my big thing. My big thing comes down to this. That explanation has nothing to do with the warp.
Sure.
Not at all. It's just antimatter. Antimatter is not warp at all. The Necron use antimatter, they use dark matter, they use wormholes, and they don't touch the warp at all, because they can't. They can't do it. So these Tau should be on that same path of manipulating gravity and like stars and wormholes and antimatter and dark matter.
Yeah.
But none of that touches the warp at all.
Yeah.
So I would completely get if they activated all these slipstream modules at the same time and boom, black hole.
Sure.
Right in the middle of your like empire space. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes complete sense that but the black hole is not an entry point to the immaterium.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a ends in a singularity, you know? Like, that's just science. It's not magic or a warp at all.
Yeah, like, these things exist in our real
exactly.
life.
Exactly. We can observe. Well, we can think we can observe them or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't need to bring the warp into this at all. There's no reason to do it yet.
Yeah.
And then these guys get sucked into this black hole, and boom, now they're in the warp. That makes no sense. Why? The only reason they're putting them in this warp is to tie them into the Cicatrix Maledictum and to include them in that story and then introduce this many-armed deity.
Yeah.
Which I already don't think is a great thing to have.
Yeah, it's definitely not the right. I will live with it, but I would never have written it.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the now we're in the warp where we shouldn't even be. We have this deity, which we shouldn't have.
Yes.
And then it spits us back out, and then it creates an exit for this wormhole into the Nemyar Atoll. And I'm pretty sure it's attributed to the many-armed deity. That's what actually creates the exit for them.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, because otherwise they would have just been stuck in the warp
forever. Yeah, so then they're in the warp and then they leave through another wormhole. It's
that's
like,
right.
That's they're not connected.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
When you travel through the Startide Nexus, you're not going through the fucking warp.
Yeah, you're going through a wormhole.
You're going through a wormhole.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the warp. Their drone technology is able to stabilize this wormhole, this rift, but it's not warp-related at all. If it was warp-related and they could just stabilize it with drones, congratulations. You solved all the problems in 40K.
Yeah, yeah. Go at the Great Rift
yeah,
there.
Yeah, start at one end and work your way yeah. through because yeah. you're going to do it eventually.
Yeah.
So I think it's very poorly written. I would not make it a product of human FTL and Kroot War Spheres. Yeah. I would just attribute it to the Tau because that's totally fine.
Or even just their allied races sure. are finally willing to share their tech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's not a problem either. Yeah.
Small clerical rounding error was passed on in the email chain, unfortunately, hence the explosion of the wormhole. But
yeah.
yeah.
Don't make the wormhole go into the warp at all. They're yeah. not related. Don't confuse people by thinking that black holes and wormholes are entrances into the warp.
Yeah, because
yeah. they're not.
Yeah.
Don't have the many-armed deity because the Tau don't need a connection to the warp.
Yeah, they don't. Even like now, the Tau, they don't care. They're not serving this many-armed entity. In fact, they're hunting down its followers.
Yeah.
So it's not really like it does anything for them.
And I like this. I love this idea of the Dark Tau.
Sure.
And even if they don't go into the warp, there's no reason that after seeing 3/4 of their entire fleet disappear, why would you not still just go insane? Yeah. Or blame?
There's
find
so many
something
reasons,
to blame.
Yeah, to go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, it's a warp thing. You could just say, we now have a hatred for anything that isn't Tau.
Yeah.
Because if we were doing it ourselves, we wouldn't have fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, so they got the technology from another of their ally races, and, yeah, sabotage?
Absolutely. So, yeah. like, there's so many different ways to spin it without saying, like, I like this warp thing, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the other side, the fact that like they're at the mercy of this god who opened up this hole for them, I don't like that.
Yeah.
It could have just been a coincidental wormhole. The Tau Empire had already given up the Force Sphere as lost.
Yeah.
So it's not like Games Workshop needed to write the Force Sphere back.
Weird.
You know, they just did it because.
Yeah.
And at that point, just make it an actual wormhole. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure term.
Yeah, like, fuck, now do Chaos entities have the ability to manifest fucking wormholes
Absolutely.
At their discretion.
And you can just exit them out of the warp?
Yeah, and this is not a powerful entity. This
right.
is a brand new baby little entity. So
yeah, why are these Death Guards so concerned with it when Nurgle should be able to replicate this exact same thing?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe you were right about like it being like a Zinch kind of trick. Maybe he's like, I'm going to open this hole up and then, you know, so that we can use this hole, right? Like, Tau, like,
that's like saying, like,
they're not going to be able to guard
God
this
works
thing.
In
like,
mysterious ways. Cheech works in mysterious ways. Like, whenever you can't explain anything, well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think as soon as you start picking this apart, like, it folds so easily.
Yeah, just like all their other ones, man.
Ugh.
Sixth sphere. I'm hoping
I'm
that
waiting
sixth...
for an awesome writ Tau line, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so
alas.
Frustrating.
What do you guys think out there? Send us your thoughts on do you like the idea of the many-armed Tau god? Dark Tau, what would they look like? If you have some conversions of some cool badass Dark Tau, let me see it.
I love the idea of like a fire team of Tau warriors secretly worshiping like a demon of Khorne or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know they're worshiping Khorne, but they start like hanging little weird Khorne-shaped medallions on their armor. Maybe there's a spike on a shoulder pad that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, they do a lot more blood things than they have. I love that idea.
Yeah.
But you don't. You can be exposed to the warp in so many different ways by so many different things. Yeah. You didn't need this in order to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy situation.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll at least give people some good ideas for like homebrew lore.
Yeah.
And armies and stuff.
Yeah. I was frustrated doing the episode for sure, going into it, getting in the mindset. But after doing it, I tend to typically like it. I think I like it for the most part. They really do some cool, unique things for the Tau.
Yeah. But I love the idea of the Startide Nexus.
Yeah, it's cool.
This wormhole, not warp rift, this wormhole connecting to very far away points in the galaxy, like a stable route through it. That is worth so much more than the Tau are capable of protecting.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason they haven't been annihilated is because not enough people have found out about it.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Like, as soon as the Imperium realizes that there is this, like, stable rift, how are not all their resources being poured into getting this? Like, how many crusades are being called to claim this?
Almost like
this?
Any of the races, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. They all need it.
Yeah.
They all need it. Like, getting through the Cicatrix Maledictum is, like, the... Like, that's the problem right now. And that's why Vigilus was so important.
Yeah.
And then there was one other fortress world or whatever. And now you have a third selection that you don't even have to worry about the warp. So,
well, the Tau better come up with some cool technology fast.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. They could do it. I believe it. And I don't even need them. I don't even need Games Workshop to say that they got the tech from somewhere else. It's totally cool to just say the Tau developed it on their own.
Sure.
Or yeah. They accepted this new race that gifted them the technology. Yeah. Whatever.
That would be sweet, actually. I'd like that.
You don't need to say that they got it from humans. Everything is just too human-centric in a galaxy of uncounted alien species.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not upset about it at all.
No.
I'm just sad that the greater good is kind of taking a backseat to like some of this weird stuff.
Well, yeah, it's now about like this wormhole and
it's God.
Yeah, the God or whatever, and this dealing with the warp auxiliaries. You know, what place does the greater good have in all of this?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the question that we will hopefully come to understand over the course of our life.
Well, when we become like. The greater good philosophers when we bang down what it what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we'll know. We'll have ascended to the hat mark.
Cool. Tau. Well, I honestly never thought we would ever finish all the spheres of expansion. Congratulations, boys. That's incredible.
It took us years.
Years. But we made it. I don't even know what the Tau do now.
Well, they don't do anything. I think they're stuck in the fifth sphere of this lock over Nemyar Atoll and really trying to make sure they don't let it fall into anyone's hands.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where they will be for a while. Even in the next editions, I can't imagine
Yeah, like,
them...
okay, yeah, the next edition, they launch another fucking sphere.
Yeah, exactly.
So they claim 10 more planets on that side of the galaxy and one on their side. Like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Like, what made this one so cool in my mind is it was just that next step. Like, they did a couple flops that were kind of the exact same spheres of expansion, and this one was just something completely different.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that.
These two. I really like that, too. I don't think I grasped the significance of this Second Empire until you, like, explained it and said, like, no, this is truly what's going to set them apart and allow them to live and breach outside of their confined quarters down there.
Like, and just imagine, so six-sphere expansion. They have this technology to open up wormholes. Sure, it's not stable then, but maybe they have. And now maybe they launch another one of these wormholes, and now we got them in the solar segmentum.
Yeah.
You know? Hmm. And now we got a bunch of pocket Tau empires all over the galaxy.
Yeah. If they turn this mishap into a let's open another black hole somewhere and see where it goes.
Exactly.
Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It could be so cool.
Like, Tau are now like the wormhole black hole specialist.
Yeah. And they're just fucking popping up anywhere. You don't even know half the time.
It could be very cool.
Absolutely. So. Games Workshop, if you're listening, like that would be such a cool way to go.
We'll tell Graham McNeely boy.
We'll let him take it to the higher ups. Exactly. Graham, I hope you have some time because boy, do we have some ideas.
First, we're going to need you to listen to all these Lorehammer episodes so you can truly grasp the scope of what we're trying to communicate.
How much we hate the current. Yeah.
Oh, man. Crazy. Cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
Well, yeah, I think that's it for me for the fourth and fifth sphere.
I got one more little timbit here for you.
I love timbits.
Tyranids also make use of wormholes. They have their bioships called the Narwhals that manipulate their intended destination's own gravity to compress real space into a type of gravitic transit corridor or wormhole.
Okay.
Another kind of cool example of wormholes,
but again,
being different
not
than warp.
Warp related.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That bugged me so much.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't need it.
Eric.
They didn't listen.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's jump into and thank our Patreon members. If you've listened this far, please support the show. Throw us a dollar. It helps us continue to do this.
Currently, we need to thank Spencer, Occulte Veritatis, Earl, Scott, Hurley, Snarfcakes, Cameron, and Xavier or Javier.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for supporting us and the show. It's really great to see that.
Yeah. It's fantastic to see that.
And Rio, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah.
And thank you to you, the listener, for putting up with us and our garbage.
Until next time.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Mark. And that's real, I guess.